Once upon a time, there lived in a far-off Indian country a little Indian boy whose name was Hiawatha. More than anything else, Hiawatha wanted to become a great hunter.
Mighty brave and mighty strong was the little Indian hunter, little Hiawatha, bravest of the brave. Now he came from distant land in a white birch bark canoe with his little bow and arrow in his hand.
Down the stream and through the canyon, down the rushing Taquamina, sailing through its bends and windings, sailing through its deeps and shadows, came little Hiawatha. For he'd come to hunt the red deer, hunt the rabbit, the wabasso, hunt the squirrel, the Ajidwamo, hunt the great bear, Mishimokwa. Fearless was this mighty warrior, skilled in all the crafts of hunters. Sure of foot was Hiawatha.
In the forest he did find animals of every kind. There were squirrels
and birds
and beavers, rabbits too.
What a cinch, thought Hiawatha, hunting animals is no trick.
With so many,
I can easily take my pick.
Eagerly, Hiawatha looked at the animals around him. There were squirrels and birds and beavers and rabbits and a porcupine and a badger and two weasels. Hiawatha aimed his arrow at the little rabbit, but before he could shoot, the laughing animals had scampered away and were safe in their holes, and the birds were jeering at him from their treetop nests. Hiawatha was turning to go when he saw strange tracks on the ground. Quickly, he bent down to study them. He was sure he had never seen such tracks before, and his heart beat like a tom-tom. "Perhaps I have found a new kind of animal," he thought. Head down and on his hands and knees, he followed the tracks. Suddenly, a shrill whirring startled him. Looking up, he saw a giant cricket rubbing his wings together. Hiawatha was so scared as he looked in the cricket's great strange eyes that he gave a yelp and, turning, ran as fast as he could. The forest animals popped out of their holes. "Hiawatha's afraid of a cricket," they cried. Shame-faced Hiawatha stopped running. The little animals could not stop laughing. "Afraid of a cricket!" a little rabbit choked, drumming his paw on the ground. "Oh, my! Afraid of a cricket!" Hiawatha's face turned as red as the sun painted on the side of his little canoe. No impudent little rabbit was going to make fun of him. Grabbing his bow and arrow, Hiawatha chased the rabbit. The bunny ran and dodged among the great tree trunks, but Hiawatha stayed right behind him and finally cornered him. He aimed his arrow right at the bunny's heart. Trembling, the poor little rabbit sat up and begged for mercy. Hiawatha saw the tears in the bunny's big brown eyes, and in spite of himself, he was touched. "All right," he said crossly. "Shoo! Scat! You won't get off so easily again." The rabbit ran off, and immediately Hiawatha was surrounded by joyful, grateful animals. seeing how friendly they were, Hiawatha made a resolution. He swore never to hunt his animal friends again. Just to make sure, he took his bow and one arrow and smashed them across his knee. Since Hiawatha no longer wanted to become a mighty hunter, he decided to become an explorer. He started off to explore the island and soon found great paw marks on the ground. Creeping forward quietly, Hiawatha followed the mysterious paw marks. Suddenly, there he was, face to face with a bear cub hidden behind a rock. The cub squealed with fear and dashed off as fast as his shaggy little legs could carry him. Hiawatha ran after him. He did not understand why the cub should be so frightened. "Stay and play with me," he shouted. "Stay and play with me." But the cub would not listen to Hiawatha. He headed for his cave with Hiawatha close behind. In the dark of the cave, suddenly, Hiawatha made a pounce. He felt something shaggy. "Gotcha," he laughed, and wrapped his arms tightly around the squirming cub. But then, a terrible roar shook the forest. This was no cub. This was the mother bear he had caught. You can be sure, little Hiawatha let go, fast. And now it was his turn to be chased. He fled helter-skelter with the roaring bear just behind him. Fortunately, Hiawatha's newfound forest friends saw his danger. The beavers pounded out an SOS with their tails, and the alarm was heard all over the island. First to answer were the weasels. "Quick, this way," they urged Hiawatha. He fled past them, and behind him, they spread out a trap of vines for the furious mother bear. Then the friendly beavers took over. At the riverbank, Hiawatha dashed out on a tree trunk, and the beavers ferried him across. The mother bear hesitated a moment at the cold water, but then she, too, plunged in and crossed over. When he had crossed the river, Hiawatha climbed a tree, but the roaring bear climbed right after him. Hiawatha would have been caught had not the squirrels shown him a way down out of the mother bear's reach. Then the squirrels made a harness of tree limbs and hitched it to a little deer. "Giddy up," they shouted, and Hiawatha was off. By deer express, Hiawatha was carried swiftly through the forest. Soon the growls of the bear faded out behind him, and he knew he was safe. When they came to the bank of the river, Hiawatha climbed into his little white canoe with the red sun painted on the side. "Goodbye," he called to his new forest friends. "I'll be back soon." A happy Hiawatha turned the bow of his canoe homeward. He had not learned to become a great hunter, but he knew that he had made many new friends.
Mighty brave and mighty strong was the little Indian hunter,
little Hiawatha.
Another night.
This is Brian Kernahan, and you are listening to WMFO in Medford 91.5 FM, Tufts Educational Radio.
like standing on the green light platform and crying in the rain. Oh, 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 oh. You can taste me to the edge of the
silence is golden, yeah, yeah. Silence is golden. American child, son of a gun, been a prisoner, preacher too. VA special did just what it's meant to do.
Thank you. Allison is perfect. I mean, she'd never tell you that. She's humble and perfect. She likes everyone. She even likes her untidy roommate's weird guinea pig. Allison, wait, are you texting and driving? Allison, no. That's the exact opposite of what I was just saying about you. Why, Allison? Why? Texting and driving makes good people look bad. Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
We'll be right back. Oh, what he has, who thinks he has you.
Ooh, we're gonna have fun.
Oh yeah. If you enjoy new and vintage punk, rock and roll, rhythm and blues, psychedelic, surf, and rockabilly, you'll want to tune into the Desperate Hours with Alex every Thursday from 6 to 8 p.m. here on WMFO Medford.
We pride ourselves on the high moral standards of our program, and I mean that sincerely. We don't resort to sex or crime or violence or drinking on the programs.
It's great music from the has-beens, should-have-beens, woulda-couldas, and never-weres. From the 1950s all the way up through to the present day.
Yes.
Connect with Alex and the Desperate Hours on Facebook and listen on Thursday evenings from 6 to 8 p.m. Only here on Tufts Freeform Radio, 91.5 on your FM dial and on the web at WMFO.org.
There's no crime in giving yourself over to pleasure.
much advice to give. The phone separate lungs at night. Kicks to the left, squares to the right. With love so dull, searching for a third, that's what I heard. A thousand different shapes, all those multiple takes, how the heavy heart aches. Yes, it is. Yeah. And there's a look in your eye, come on, give us a try. Can't get a rise out of you. Cast a spell. Can't you tell? Can't you tell? It's all science fiction, baby. Now you're casting your doubts. Yeah, you're practicing pals. The ends become ours. Hey, come out! I said, come out! Hey, come out! And there's a look in your eye. Come on, give us a try. I can't get a rise out of you. Can't talk one-on-one anymore. Can barely talk to a crowd. Still step up to the microphone, pontificating.
Riley James, and you're listening to 91.5 WMFO.